Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Robert, and we're delighted to have with us a very special guest this evening, and we'll get to her in just a moment. Now, you might notice the absence of Ruth Ann. She's having a terrible time with the pollen here in the south. Everything's in bloom. I am too, as you can probably tell, I'm a little crackly, but we're just so honored to have Allison with us tonight, and I didn't want to miss that opportunity. So like I said, we have Allison Mead with us. She is a psychic, intuitive astrologer. Really, I could try to give you an overview of everything that she does, but she has quite a large intuitive tool chest, and it'd be better if I let her tell you about it. I do want to tell you first though, just to remind everybody, go to our website, wellroundedcorners.com. We have every show that we've ever done for free. You can download it. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you go to iTunes, you search Well-Rounded Corners, or if you click the iTunes button on our website, you can automatically download all the shows as they become available, listen to all the past shows, and when a new show comes in, it'll just automatically download to your iPad, iPhone. It's great. You can also listen to us live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1. Allison, you've put up with me talking here so much here. I tried to introduce you, but there's just so much that you do that I think it'd just be better to turn that over to you.
Well, my name is Allison Mead. I'm also known as Allie, and I've been a psychic since I was a child. And I spent a really long time, several decades now, kind of, I'm basically extremely curious. And so I continue to learn different skills. And so I'm certified in astrology, Reiki, matrix energetics, neuro-linguistic programming, mindfulness-based stress reduction, and sound healing. And I just keep going. I keep wanting to learn more and more. So, I came here to talk about my book tonight and also to talk about Sassy Psychic, which is where I give my readings and different energy healing sessions that I provide.
You know, it's really interesting. It seems that everybody that we have on that deals with astrology or as a psychic or, you know, anything like that, even energy healing, whatever, they are almost never, they're always multidisciplined. And I find that to be really important. I even in my own very limited work, metaphysically, I find that one modality is never enough really for most situations. And it sounds like, you ran into that as well, and it's very often I think that people just develop a sort of a knack to want to learn as much as they can about these things.
I agree. I don't trust people like that, I have to say. I never want to believe that I know everything, you know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, well, we can never know anything. I mean, we can never know everything, and so it's... Absolutely. Numerous guests in the past have referred to it as an intuitive tool chest, and you know, you just pick the right one out for the right situation, and you have quite a well-rounded tool chest there.
So yeah, it'll literally show up in my reality, or my guides will start screaming in my ears about ones that I might have forgotten, and I just can just pull them out and work with people on the spot.
Right. That's awesome. So now we're going to talk about your book. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk a little bit. How did you get started in the metaphysical world? What was your first experience there?
My first experience was when I was a very small child. I want to say I was probably somewhere between probably 3 and 5. I used to dream. I don't think I realized I wasn't dreaming. I thought I was dreaming, but I was seeing scenes projected against the wall of my bedroom. And my family just kind of chalked it up to a very active imagination. And it wasn't until later in my life that I realized, no, those were actually clairvoyant visions. And I wasn't, well, I do have an imagination, but these weren't imaginary at all. They were especially images and also sounds of things that I couldn't possibly have known as a child.
So, I mean, how old were you when that was going on?
And about 3, 4, 5 in there.
That must have been very... How did you take that? I mean, was that frightening for you, or did it... What was your reaction to it?
Yeah, at the time it was very scary. Mm-hmm. I just really thought, you know, as most kids do, you think they're monsters or you think they're just scary things being sent to you in the night. But I realized probably when I was about five that my eyes weren't closed. And then I realized I wasn't sleeping. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second, what's happening here? I don't understand this at all. So luckily, I was very curious as I grew, and I just read and read and read. And nobody else in my family is really psychic or does any of this kind of work. So I just voraciously devoured everything I can get my hands on.
Well, what was your parents' response to it? I mean, was that were you encouraged to develop those, or, you know, to pursue down that path? Because I asked that because I know so many times, you know, with kids, oftentimes we, you know, they say they see things or they hear things. And, you know, oh, no, that, you know, you're just imagining it or whatever. What was their reaction to that?
I don't want to say that they weren't accepting, but neither were they accepting. So it's probably someplace in between. It was largely chalked up to imagination. And I just learned to not really talk about it when it would happen. Or we would meet someone, I would be out with my family, and I would ask things about the person. And my mother would say, shh, it's not polite to say those things. And I would just know things about people. And I didn't understand that until later either, that maybe I didn't need to kind of go down that road. Even now, I have to sometimes stop myself from if someone gets my attention out in public, I have to stop myself from going with them and kind of tracking their energy and getting in their business. It's not polite. So
yes,
unless someone's asking me to, I try not to do it.
Well, our co-host, Ruth Ann, you know, she has often had trouble, especially going into public places, you know, where because she's very receptive to others' energy. And, you know, she's often had trouble going into public places just with all that surrounding her. You know, I mean, only recently through, you know, some intensive work has she been able to kind of and I'm quoting her the best I can. I'm sure she put this more eloquently, but basically, you know, she's been able to kind of limit that a little bit. But it can be very overwhelming being in. I mean, people think, gosh, it must be nice being able to do all that, but not always, is it?
No, not at all. It was very overwhelming for me, and it is for a number of my intuitive friends as well now. But I've really learned as I basically made a program for myself where not only would I protect myself better so that I could get better information for people, but I would become very neutral to it itself, so to the gift and to the information I received. And as soon as I became neutral to it, it was a lot easier to see things that were either positive or negative for people and not necessarily get taken down that stream emotionally.
Yeah, that can be very difficult. Well, so what, how did you decide to make this a, I don't want to say career, but I mean, you know, what propelled you to do this in a professional capacity? I mean, I guess it is your career now, but what kind of got you started in, from, you know, the childhood experiences you had until to where you are now?
That's actually the subject of the book. It's called Searching for Sassy, an LA Phone Psychic's Tales of Life, Lust, and Love. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that my job was actually as a writer and an editor. I was working as an editor in New York in publishing. And I had a terrible, terrible breakup, very painful. And so I just decided there were not enough states in the United States to put between us. So I moved all the way to the other coast, to Los Angeles, and quickly found myself in a city with no publishing to speak of, really, out of a job. And I landed a job as a phone psychic. And so I think really the universe intervened for me, because that's when my career started to switch over to doing something that had been more of a sideline or an interest of mine into doing it professionally. So the plot line of Searching for Sassy is about this year in my life that was working at the psychic line. I had a number of colleagues who completely took me under their wings and kind of forced me to believe that I was psychic, because I refused to believe it. And and they really kind of gently and humorously kind of ganged up on me. And meanwhile, I learned all these other skills. I learned astrology there. I got to be a better tarot reader. I learned all about managing energy. So that's how it kind of flip-flopped for me.
That's quite a big jump. I mean, not only did you move from one coast to another, but you move from one life to another, it sounds like, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, so that's a fascinating tale. I'm glad you've written a book about that. I want to, you know, we've had psychics on in the past, and I believe one of them was a phone psychic. Or has had experience with that. This is just a personal curiosity on that for me. How does, like, when, you know, when somebody calls in, and I understand how you can get, you know, the energy from and what people are about over the phone. But how is it where, I mean, you have such a limited time to make a connection, you know, with them. They may only be on for, what, 10, 20 minutes, who knows? I mean, how is that compared to, you know, giving a reading in person?
For me, it's weirdly easier because what happens is that you're not distracted by all the things that the person is wearing or let's say that strong perfume or something like that. I find sometimes working with people face to face is a lot more distracting. And if I am working across the table from someone, I'll literally just close my eyes so that I'm not getting a lot of visual information that could necessarily sway me one way or the other.
Right.
I usually, when I'm going to do a phone reading with someone, all I ask them to give me is their birth time, place, and date, so I can run an astrological chart or a series of astrological charts, and that'll just be one of the tools that I'll use on a phone reading with someone.
Mm-hmm. And how much of that is counseling? You know, and I don't mean counseling in a medical sense, but how much of it ends up becoming that? I mean, because I'm sure that when you start, you know, from what limited amounts I know about astrology, you know, you get some general guidelines as to what they're about and what they're going through, but then you add the psychic layer on top of that. But at what point does it turn into, you know, more of a working through problems sort of thing?
Pretty quickly, actually. I think that's a very astute question because I think of my job as probably 50% counseling. Mm-hmm. And I'm always very, very clear about boundaries about my not being certified as a counselor, right, if that's what someone's looking for. And I also am very, very clear with boundaries and sometimes will meditate on or kind of take it under advisement whether a particular client is best served by my services or the services of a certified mental health professional. But that being said, yeah, the people I work with on an ongoing basis, on one hand, it's very, very fun to get to know them, and I know some of their issues very intimately, and I feel like I can help them in certain ways. And then on another level, yeah, it's always very, very important, I think, as a reader to maintain those boundaries between what you do and what necessarily you're not serving in them by becoming a pure counselor.
Right. Well, and also, too, what level... I mean, I know that it is a service. I mean, ultimately, I guess it's like a consulting service. Is there any level of to it where, you know, when you're talking to them and you consult with them on an issue in particular? Because I assume a lot of people have some specific issues that they're asking about.
Yeah.
How is that when, you know, you never hear from them? Do you ever wonder, like, gosh, I wonder what happened with that? Or I wonder how they dealt with that? Or, you know.
I do. Sometimes I don't... I don't want to say that I don't remember and that I don't care, but sometimes I don't remember because I get in that state where I'm trying to become so neutral to what I hear, it's almost like I'm not there. So sometimes people will have to remind me what I said last time because I won't remember. And it's just because I'm out there somewhere.
You know, one of our guests, and actually, I guess I would call him a mentor in a way. He's definitely educated me on a lot of different things. Cliff High, the Webrot Project, they use computers to determine. Well, his premise is that everybody is psychic, mm-hmm. and that it leaks out, our impressions of that psychic knowledge leak out in the words that we use in the internet and you know throughout our daily lives. Would you agree with that premise that everyone is psychic at some level, and maybe it's just that we don't, you know, some don't develop it like others do?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. I feel very strongly about that. That's interesting. And now it makes me want to kind of check that person's work out.
It's very interesting work. It's very interesting work. Well, it's on our site, but yeah, definitely. It's you know, basically he says that the language that people use changes based on, he kind of runs a differential analysis of what people say versus what they might have said 10 months ago. And it's a very fascinating concept. But he says it works because humans are just inherently psychic, and that's just one of our senses. And I kind of at a core level feel that that's true. And I found that most people do as well. You know, even the people that think it's hogwash still have intuitions, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, there are all the famous kinds of stories about people having premonitions and sitting up in bed in the middle of the night and knowing that someone is hurt in their family. So, yeah, I agree. And there are actually certain studies that have been done about it in small ways, measuring people's brainwave activity as they are looking at a monitor. And a fraction of a second before an image would even be on the monitor, their brain would already be reacting to it in a certain way, either positively or negatively. And so the researchers concluded that that might be evidence that everyone is to some degree psychic.
Well, I mean, we're finding, you know, through quantum physics, we're finding that particles or waves or whatever you want to call them both are psychic too. And that, you know, in a way, I guess you could call it that, and that, you know, they act differently when observed, and it's almost like they know they're going to be observed.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if at that level things work like that, it's not that much of an extrapolation to say that it works at this level too. Probably even more so, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why one of the things I am doing to a certain extent and would like to do a lot more is to help people develop that intuition. And it doesn't necessarily even matter if it's used to give professional readings. It's more to me that it's a really useful life skill to make good choices.
Right. Well, right. I mean, well, you know, you use your eyes and your ears and your sense of touch and smell to make choices. I mean,
absolutely.
Makes sense to use another sense. Absolutely. Well, okay, we're going to take a short break here. And when you get back, want to talk a little bit about, continue talking about your book, but also, you know, your impressions on, you know, we've talked about Reiki here in the past. Want to talk to you a little bit about that.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Okay, and we're back here with Allison Mead. We've just been talking about all different kinds of topics. She is here to talk about her book, but when we have a multidisciplined person like her, we like to just get as much helpful information and discussion as we can. So hope you don't mind us going all over the place here, Allison. So before we were talking a little bit about, you know, just the different disciplines and how you arrived at it. I'd like to just talk about some of those that you use in your daily work, besides the psychic. You mentioned you're an astrologer?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so, and you start your calls with that. How much does that play into your consultation, the astrology part?
Well, I actually do two things before the reading begins. I like to leave myself at least 15, 20 minutes before a call will begin, because I will look at a chart one time, and I'll get a series of hits right off the chart immediately. And I'll just start taking notes. And then I'll look at it again during the reading, and I'll either get more, like sort of a continuation of that story, or I'll get brand new different hits. And so the astrology chart actually serves two purposes for me. It's one, like it's almost like a way in, where it begins above and beyond its symbols and the relationship of the symbols to one another and what they mean, it actually starts to get my psychic senses moving. And then I actually will take a look at it, reading it as you would an astrology chart, and getting a feel for probably more than likely what that person's going through at this time. And the thing about astrology that's fantastic is that it is the best tool for timing. Everybody wants to know when certain things are going to happen. And often I'll get psychic information, but it's way more accurate if you are going to... I usually take down the information I'm given psychically, and then I double check with the astrology. And so I can give somebody a clearer, much more likely picture of when it's going to happen.
How often do you find that the psychic and the astrology interpretations mix or coincide, I should say?
Pretty frequently. I mean, because I usually don't do down to the minute or hour or even day, because they're energies. And so they're going to fluctuate based on how open we are to things changing around us. So I would say the better part of the time, maybe 70, 80, 90% of the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, well, when you're giving a reading and you're dealing with astrology as well, what do you do in the situation where, and I've encountered this just in, like I said, the limited amount of astrology that I've done, where you, and by no means I'm an expert, I want to just reiterate that as many, I'm very much a novice at it, but what do you do in the situation where somebody doesn't know their exact birth time, or they don't know when they, everybody knows where they were born, but a lot of people don't have access to the birth certificates or the exact time. So what do you do in that situation?
Well, there are a couple things to do. A lot of people, actually, a fair number of my clients don't even know where they were born. Some of them might have been adopted. Maybe they were found in a war zone. I actually have a number of clients who literally don't know exactly what date they were born on.
Right.
It could be this date or that one pretty close nearby. But what I can always do is run what's called a natural chart, where you put somebody's sun sign as the ascendant, and then you can break the chart into the 12 houses based on where their sun sign is going to fall. So the sign that's opposite their sun sign would fall on the descendant, etc. And that's how a lot of people that's how the horoscopes are done in a newspaper, for example, or a magazine. People put your natural sign at the ascendant. So it's not quite as exact, but in those cases, I have learned to kind of ask for more guidance.
Right. Has that process ever led to maybe narrowing down people's birth dates who don't know?
Well, you may know, as a person who's involved in astrology, there's a process called rectification, where you will take significant moments in that person's life and then work backwards to try to narrow in on the date and the time of their birth.
Right.
And rectification can be a little bit arduous, but definitely worth it. If you don't know, and if you really would like to have an accurate birth chart, definitely worth the effort.
Yeah. Well, in my situation, I'm very fortunate to have all of this, have my birth certificate, know the exact times and everything. But, I've also known plenty of people who, they know their birthday, but they don't know what time. And then their parents are either not alive or don't remember, or, just various things. And, I know you can cast most of the chart like that, but there's parts you just, that's always kind of been a mystery to me. So you're still doing psychic work now, with the phone, correct?
Yes. So, every day.
So how long does an average session last when somebody calls?
An hour. Usually going less than an hour doesn't really serve people because we can't get into it as deeply as I'd like to.
Right.
And going more, it's sort of like the energy passes and you can kind of tell when it's tailing off. And an hour is really the sweet spot.
Right. How often, I know you use, the astrology and psychic modalities, but do you ever use any other modalities while you're on a call with somebody?
I do. I might do some channeling. I might do a little bit of channeling. I try to keep the channeling separate, but sometimes I can't help it. Recently, especially, a lot of guides or even people who've crossed over for people will just kind of bust through and just want to speak. And so they're going to shove me out of the way. I'm going to begin teaching more intuitive development classes online. And I also sometimes, and I'm about to begin offering these types of blended readings where it might be partially a reading and partially an energy healing. Because reading people is fantastic, but helping them heal is better, I think.
Right. Well, so, true. Yeah. It's nice to know what's coming or what, you know, some insight on something that you might not have considered, but having the tools to deal with it is probably even more important in a way.
Yeah.
You know, being it, because that, you know, I'm sure you get, I can just imagine, I mean, I'm sure you get questions like, will I ever have another kid, or will I, you know, am I going to find someone? I mean, these kind of questions, I mean, that's sort of tough for astrology to answer per se, isn't it? I mean, just alone, you know.
I always feel like I don't want to put myself out of business, but it is, energy work is such wonderful work to help change the energy patterns around you, and therefore bring in whatever you want to bring in, whether it's a job or more wealth or a new partner, whatever it is, or even, you know, move painful things out. I have a number of clients who struggle with depression and things like that. And so, yes, to read them is certainly one thing, and it's a valuable thing, but to be able to help them heal from that is even more rewarding, I think.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's about, we've had guests talk a lot of theory, but, you know, at some point we do try to get into the nitty gritty, you know, and not necessarily in your situation, but, you know, we've had people with different techniques and stuff, you know, what's something somebody can take away from this and put into use? And all of our guests have had some really that have, you know, been educators or whatever, or, you know, have written books on these topics have always had something that, you know, people can really put to use right away. And that's something that really sticks in people's minds, you know? Cause I mean, it's fun to talk about the theory, and it's fun to talk about things in very general ways. But at the end of the day, you know, it has to have some application, and that's, and despite what people may think, metaphysics, is full on application as well.
Oh yeah.
It really is.
Definitely. If each person's different. I mean, sometimes I'll just sense that they don't want this part. But
right.
I will, if I sense a little opening of opportunity, I will email someone after reading and check in. I will email and say, you know, it crossed my mind that maybe you can benefit from this recorded meditation, or here's a site that I found that with more information about your health condition that you came to me with, or here's a book that I really thought that would really serve you.
Now, we've talked with, you know, other psychics that we've had on the show, or just, you know, ones that I've talked to in general, have said that there's always a trend of what people ask the most. Like, for example, we've heard that in, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, even into 2010, there was a big trend in people asking about their finances, you know, because so many people are getting laid off. And
yeah.
And I mean, what's the trend now? I mean, obviously nothing specific, but just what are you seeing any trends now?
Yeah. And I have to say it's been pretty significant for a while for me. And it's about love. It's about connection, especially in love and marriage. I think it's also, though, due to the sort of generations, placements. There's Neptune in Sagittarius and Pluto in the sign of Libra. They're very partnership oriented. So I'm not surprised.
Interesting. So you think just the mundane astrology actually plays a role in what people tend to be concerned about?
Absolutely. Because yeah, it's going to, the planet Neptune, especially in where Neptune is located, or how it's transiting, will determine everything from kind of the mood of the country to what people are wearing.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't, and we talked about this a little bit off the air, but I know you don't do a lot of or much mundane stuff, but I do want to ask, we had Michelle Avanti on, I don't know if you know her, she's a psychic from Washington. And she's an astrologer mainly, I shouldn't say psychic, but I believe she does some more integrated work as well. And she kind of did some mundane stuff, and she was talking about, you know, 2012 being a year of transformation and change, and that it wasn't necessarily a bad time. You know, so many people get so worried about the Mayan end of the world, you know, kind of stuff. Which is so over. You know, we've had guests about that as well, about how ridiculous, overly overblown that is. But yeah. What's your take on this year? Just in general, I'm not trying to spring this on you, but just your impressions.
That's not a problem at all. Well, a couple things come to mind when you ask that. One is, just because it just happened, was we recently, as of July of last year, then late October of last year, and then just now on the week of March 12th through the week of March 15th, had a Jupiter trining Pluto. Mm-hmm. So Jupiter in Taurus trining Pluto in the sign of Capricorn. They move at different speeds, both in an Earth sign, and it happened the same day Mercury went retrograde. Then it formed a grand Earth trine when Mars retrograde in Virgo met up with those two planets on the 14th. And then Venus was actually added to it. So having so many planets added to that, Jupiter trining Pluto is an enormously lucky, expansive, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take the gifts of Jupiter. So what Jupiter is expansive, it's lucky, it's creative, it wants everyone to get what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. Trining Pluto is a way to change all of our lives and our society and our world for the better. It's just a question of how we're going to use that manifesting power. So this year, to me, is almost like the universe saying, you could wrap it up in one sentence. Is this really what you want?
I think a lot of people are asking that. You know,
I think so. I think
nothing. Most people have made the decision that's what we have isn't really it.
Yeah, and the recession, I think, has awakened many people to the value of money, the value of community and friends. And maybe, I like to think, at least a number of the clients I work with on a regular basis have, even though it's created some instability and some upset around that, has actually opened the door to people starting their own businesses, discovering their families, their relationships, and even new businesses that they've always wanted to do but never felt safe to do.
It's funny. Everywhere I see people sort of, I guess, rewiring maybe society in a way. Like, you know, people just find, you know, you have these very institutional things sometimes that block people from getting things done. But I'm seeing people all over just throw that out and say, we're not going to mess with that, and we're just going to do this, and it works.
Yeah, and that's Jupiter Pluto right there. And the fact that it was finally joined by Mars, even though Mars is retrograde until April 14th, the fact that it was in an Earth trine, that's actually creating stability in instability. So it's like, look, the Mars retrograde, looking to the past. So what did you want to achieve in the past that you haven't done? What did you put up on the shelf and not get done? How do you know that that's not your purpose? So maybe it's time to reevaluate. And that's what I think this year is about so much. And the other thing that kind of comes to mind when you ask that question was the Pluto in Capricorn, which is a very long-term transit. It takes about 10, 12 years for Pluto to move through a sign, sometimes even a little bit longer, depending on how many times it retrogrades. But Jupiter trining, Pluto in Capricorn is a major reevaluation of money in the financial system. So we have things like Occupy Wall Street, and all of a sudden we're paying a lot more attention to how we spend our money.
Well, the Bitcoin movement, even though it's just fledgling right now, I mean, people are trying to develop alternate currencies based on no interest. You know, they're just trying to come up with fair ways to barter that don't involve a central bank, or so, you know, some kind of central authority.
How exciting is that? I think
it's wonderful. There's never been a time that I know of that's been able to happen. And you know, I mean, The recent conjunction of Venus and Jupiter, I believe it was, that everybody was seeing in the sky. You know, that it's funny how many people that I've known that were not interested in either astronomy or astrology looked up and were like, wow, that's really neat, you know, especially since they were so close. I mean, it just seems like more and more people are, I mean, my grandmother, for instance, she even has started, you know, she says things sometimes nowadays that just, I'm like, wow, she's in her 80s and yet says things in such a modern way or in new age way. And it just makes me really think, wow, there's really something to it this time. You know, it's not just, not just wishful thinking, that there is some real change. You know, and it sounds like it's for the betterment of humanity that we have the opportunity to have.
I think it really is. And even I think that's an interesting point that you brought up kind of indirectly, that the lines between what's new age and what's normal, so to speak, are blurring. And so now it's integrative medicine instead of alternative medicine. It's how can the two systems work together instead of marginalizing one another? And that doesn't serve anyone.
Oh, doctors, for example, you know, I read where doctors are just getting inundated with questions about, like, you know, high fructose corn syrup, vitamins, you know, these, you know, it used to be people would go to doctors and they'd like, I'd like this prescription medication. TV. And now more and more they're getting asked questions like, am I getting enough vitamin D? You know, am I?
Yeah.
And what a wonderful thing. I mean, something's changing and it's in a very good way, it seems.
And how great that your grandmother at her age is still not just giving up, but she's really partaking in her own way.
It is. It's, you know, she read a book. I can't remember the author, but she was reading a book on somebody's interpretations of you know, 2012. And it wasn't necessarily all about that, but they talked a little bit about that. And it was very fascinating to even hear her talk about that kind of thing. And just, you know, she's just from several generations removed. And it's just very interesting. And I'm here and I'm seeing that more and more. I think if, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, I sort of went through a transformation, became more, like, you know, metaphysical in my thinking and whatnot. And I think if I'd have done it 10 or 15 years ago, people would have thought I was crazy. But now it's like, oh, yeah, okay. That's just the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to see that happen. How is the we're going to talk a little bit about Reiki too. Astrology to me is such a fascinating topic, and sometimes I let it take too much, but you know, I do want to talk about Reiki too.
How
do you do any of that with your callers, or is that more of a individual thing?
No, I do it all the time with my callers. On my website, I haven't necessarily delineated Reiki from Matrix Energetics or some of the other training that I have, just because I tend to use a lot of them, I don't want to say interchangeably, but I use tools from many of the different systems that I've studied in order to help the person in a very unique way. So no two energy work sessions with me are the same.
Right. Well, how has Reiki made a difference in your, just your individual life? I mean, have you found it to have, like I have and so many others, have really profound implications in your own life?
Oh, yes. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't use Reiki in some fashion. I'm a Karuna Reiki master. Mm-hmm. And Karuna, as you may know, it's a Sanskrit word that means compassion, but it's very, very deep. And I think each layer of Reiki is very unique and offers something different. But for me, Karuna was sort of what I was waiting for. It just gave almost like a compassionate warrior feeling to the proceedings. And that's really what I felt like people could use right now. Nobody, at least the people that I was dealing with, nobody wanted to mamby-pamby around. Nobody wanted a spa treatment.
Right, right. Ruth Ann, I remember her, you know, our co-host that can't be here. And, you know, even in things like she's going through, you know, now with severe allergies and whatnot, just the day-to-day things, Reiki can really help you. But she, ultimately, though, it can't bring back your voice for radio, so she's going to be off for a little bit. But she said had very similar experiences with Karuna. When she, I mean, I stopped at just the master Reiki level, but she went on to Karuna, and she said she had very similar things, like that the, you know, one thing I noticed about Reiki in general is that it's very effective, but it's very, It can almost have a cold, methodical feel to it, too, in some ways, like depending on, you know, if you just go by the strict interpretation of it.
Yeah, I see that.
So I guess the Karuna adds a different aspect to it, a more compassionate, maybe love-filled aspect to it, from what I've heard.
I think that's a great way to put it. It does feel very, very loving. It's in my experience, it's very strong, much stronger than the other levels of Reiki, and it's also much faster results because it's very, very deep. And so I feel like when I speak to someone about it or when I am going to use it in a session, I make sure that the person is ready for it because it often leaves people wrung out because it's so strong. You do a lot of releasing with Karuna Reiki, I find.
So there's more of an emotional component to it as well in the work with the client.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Interesting.
I'm just making sure that the person's ready because it's very intense.
Well, you know, I've offered, you know, Ruth Ann actually introduced me to Reiki. I had never heard of it until, you know, and she took level one and then, you know, got me interested into it as well. And when she became a master, you know, she taught me the levels and, you know, over time I worked through that. And, my reaction to it at first was kind of standoffish because I had already had a transformation and I was a very metaphysical thinker, but I thought, why do I need to label it? You know, why do I need to do this particular type of energy work? What's wrong with just, you know, doing basic do-it-yourself sort of thing? But when I got introduced to Reiki, I guess that's the Aquarius in me not wanting the authoritative structure or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I did though. And I mean, did you have like when you got started with Reiki, what was your experience with that?
I'm similar to you in certain ways where I don't like a lot of rules. I don't like a lot of coloring in the lines. I had a little bit of that, and I do think that it can come across as cold, but when you go into the energy, and I don't even know if I know two people who practice it the same way, so that's when I found that I could really use it as an effective tool, when I realized that I could meld it with the way that I wielded it. I guess it's kind of like any tool, like a sword. You can use it to kill someone, or you can use it to chop down a coconut and feed people, I suppose.
Right.
So it was really how it was going to be wielded to me that was going to be the most valuable part of Reiki.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you know, and a lot of people now, I'm getting to where from what I've seen, people are not so close to the idea of it or have maybe even heard of Reiki. Definitely Ruth Ann is, I mean, I almost call her a, you know, she definitely champions Reiki because it's made such an impact in her life and mine as well and other people, you know, that I've known. But it's really something that if you haven't been exposed to it, it's worth looking up. It's worth and you offer service as well. I believe I saw on your site with that. I mean, that's the nice thing about distance or that Reiki, you know, you can do it over a distance and there's so many good practitioners that can do that. And if you haven't experienced it, you know, and I'm speaking to the audience, definitely check it out because it can be really amazing.
And with Reiki, you can really work on so many things. You mentioned physical issues before with Ruth's allergies. It can be health related issues, emotional, mental, spiritual, manifestation types of issues. That's why I like energy work so much because it can be customized to what the person is trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is an amazing modality. And you know, definitely on Well Rounded Corners, we've had some Reiki masters before. And like I said, Ruth Ann is one as well. And she has really witnessed in a lot of her clients that I'll put it to you this way. No one really, I've never heard of anybody having a bad experience with her. You know, I've never heard anybody say, oh, no, Reiki, no, you don't want that. You know, it just seems to be something at an intuitive level that people accept and want. You know, that compassion and healing that it offers.
Yeah, it's very, very relaxing too. So I think that helps people with with everything from stress relief to just even self-acceptance of where they are. So they can do it.
Yeah. And, you know, and just one final note about stress, and because you brought up stress. I want to address this before we have to go to break. I'll link this article because it was coming around about 5 or 6 months ago, but I'll link it again in this show posting. There was an article that I read that had a report, a study that where people in the past, like in medieval times, and even all the way up till the 1800s or so, on average, farmers worked, and that was the predominant, you know, serfdom, and lower class occupation was farming. On average, they worked 3 to 4 hours a day, averaged over the year,
to support themselves and their family. Now, obviously, harvest times, you know, it was all hands on deck and probably 80-hour, 100-hour weeks. But in general, when you average it out, it was 3 to 4 hours a day. And just looking at our lives now, you know, how a 3 or 4 hour day would be considered by most people now lazy or, gosh, that would be nice, you know. Yeah. But, you know, with us working so much, the 40-hour work week becoming not even an issue, it's amazing how people have tried to reduce times, everything they're doing to a minimal time. Facebook lets me get done all my socializing, you know, in a very confined space. Let's get that out of the way. You know, it's like it's a chore sort of for people sometimes. Yeah. And unfortunately, meditation, taking it easy, that kind of thing has been compartmentalized as well. Is that a trend that you're seeing too? I mean, people just not allowing themselves the time to relax and...
Yeah. Definitely. It's that, but it's also sometimes enacts itself in people trying to sort of jam as many questions as they can into a reading. And I certainly don't mind. I mean, I'm happy to do as much as possible in one session, but it's more just the sort of, it's tougher for me as an intuitive to access their energy field and therefore get the information they're looking for if there is a lot of sort of shallow breathing and panting and worry coming off of them. It effectively closes people off, I think, just in a reading situation, but also in life to all the great stuff we can do and experience. So stress obviously is important to manage for health reasons, but also I think because otherwise you're missing out. You're not seeing all the good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, we have to go on break right now, but when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about your book.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as the Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's AlabamaReiki.com.
Okay, and we're back here with Allison Mead, psychic astrologer, metaphysical jack of all trades, I guess one could call you. Your book, tell us a little bit. I mean, we discussed it a little bit in the first segment, but I'd like to really get in depth to it. What motivated you to write it?
Well, I had, as I mentioned, I'd kind of moved on from working at a psychic line. I still do work on the phone, but it's under kind of more controlled circumstances where it's not just a 5 or 10 minute reading, but a little bit more time, like an hour, so we can kind of stretch out and talk about a lot of different topics that might occur to people. But I was cleaning out the garage one day, actually, and I found an old diary that I had kept from that time period of my life, and I just started looking at it and got completely engrossed in all the things and all the people I had talked to and my fellow psychics who were so important for helping me form the person that I became today. And I really never finished cleaning out the garage. I just kept reading. And my friends have been on me for years because I was a writer and a ghostwriter and an editor in New York in publishing. And for a while, it was almost like a book midwife helping other people tell their stories. And my friends kept saying, why don't you tell your own stories? What's your problem? So finally, I realized that this was a story that I thought was worthy of telling, that maybe it could help other people who maybe felt different for this reason or that reason to start kind of accepting their own gifts, whatever they may be.
Well, that's absolutely true. It does take people sometimes a while to come to terms with their gifts, and they don't even necessarily have to be psychic or intuitive. So when you went through this diary and I assumed it was sort of a starting place for you to put together your book, how was that process? I mean, how was that for you in writing it? You know, everybody goes through something when they're writing a book, especially when it's about yourself. So how was that for you?
Well, at first I thought it was really funny. I think I had just kind of forgotten about or just pushed to the side a lot of the really funny, strange things that happened. And then when I sat down to kind of map it out and see if it could be a book and really tell an arc of a story, not just be a chronological series of chapters, I really realized that it fell into place really naturally if I broke it down month by month, astrology sign by astrology sign, because the book parallels my working at the psychic line, leaving behind New York, as well as my familiar area of publishing and writing. But also I was starting to kind of stumble back to my feet and try to date again. So breaking the chapters down into month by month and astrology sign by astrology sign helped me actually talk about the guys I was dating, as well as, and it's very strange circumstances that I went through in those various relationships, as well as the stuff that was going on at work and personally for me.
Interesting. So, and with the book, so did it kind of serve as a? I mean, I've you know, I'm writing a book now too, and I mean it's
oh,
fiction,
cool.
But I have kind of discovered that even when you're, and I've done, you know, nonfiction work as well, but I've discovered that every time you write a book, there's something about it, some change that it brings about in you, you know. Something that it affects you in your life, and oftentimes ways you didn't expect it. Is there something that you've taken away from it, like that?
Yeah, there are several things. Because even though the process itself, because I've also written other books for myself and for other people, for this, the process itself was super easy. So the process of writing the book, easy. The process of revisiting these times, not so easy.
Right.
So I really think it helped to heal whatever remnants of, because there are tough times in the book too. I mean, it is humorous. It's a little silly. It's a little self-effacing, definitely about a woman kind of struggling to come into her own. But at the same time, there are sad moments when the character who's based on me is not sure if this is the right path or if these are the right people or if this is the right time. And so revisiting that gave me an opportunity to heal whatever was left over of that for me and really let it go. And I think also to have another level of claiming who I am. For a long time, I didn't use the word psychic or even healer because I thought they were kind of highfalutin. I thought to call yourself that was kind of too much. Mm-hmm. And now I just think, well, that's silly. That's like not calling myself a woman. That's who I am.
Right. That's interesting. So it's kind of been therapeutic in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think every book that I've ever written, even books I've written for other people, I find some way to connect into the narrative, and there's something that resonates with me. I don't feel like otherwise we would be doing what we're doing. I think the universe puts us next to the people and the situations and the projects we need to somehow be grappling with in our own lives.
And I would agree. And if there is a call, if you feel a call or need to write a book, then the universe is wanting you to share that with somebody. And we're very grateful that you've done that with us. Where can people, and we'll have this link on our site, but if you wouldn't mind saying it too, if people are in the car or whatever listening, How can people get your book?
The book is called Searching for Sassy, an LA phone psychic's tales of life, lust, and love. And it is available from Barnes & Noble, Amazon. If you really like indie bookstores, I like to sometimes buy books from indie bookstores too. You can go to a place called indiebound.org and have, there's a page for my book on that site. And you can have your local indie bookstore order it. It's actually available through Google Books. I don't want to go on and on, but my site is www.sassypsychic.com. There's more information on my site. And if you choose to, you can either buy the book now, it is available now, or the official launch date is April 24th. And if you want to wait until April 24th, we're going to be giving away a lot of freebies on that day to kind of encourage people to buy it on launch date. From a lot of different really talented healers and psychics and various intuitives that I know. So recorded materials, books, ebooks, all kinds of things like that.
Wonderful. Well, definitely. And we'll definitely have links on the post. So if you're listening to us and you're not on the site, definitely check out that. We'll link to her site and link to where you can order the book. And if people want to get in touch with you for your psychic work, what should they do?
They should go to www.sassypsychic.com, mm-hmm. and there is a contact page there if you have any questions. There's also all kinds. There's a blog. There's information about. There's a place to join my email list. I'm not a spammer or an over emailer, so I usually just email people with either free stuff that we're doing. Sometimes we have free energy, like brief energy work calls that everybody can come on together, so that everybody can get a group healing. Or sometimes email with information about my book that's coming up or discounts that we're having, stuff like that. So I encourage people to join the email list. And there's all kinds of information about the individual readings, but if people have a question, don't know which one is the best one for them, definitely email myself or I have an assistant named Tamara who can get back to you very quickly and help you choose the reading that's right for you.
That's wonderful. Well, I encourage everyone to do so. And like I said, we'll have links to all the sites and things that we've talked about in the show. We'll have links to that in the post. Allison, I just can't thank you enough for giving us the honor of having you on here.
Thank you so much. It was fantastic talking with you and meeting you. And I look forward to meeting Ruthanne in the future. And hopefully everybody's allergies are better soon.
Well, we've had it. You know, it's early. I call it summer now. It feels like that. You know, when it's in the 80s and it was still officially winter, then you might as well call that summer. But
wow,
yeah, it's been quite warm. The weather's been really weird for the eastern U.S. Definitely, we'd love to have you back on and Ruthanne will, because I know you and her would definitely have a lot of interesting. I can only touch on some things with Reiki and stuff. She goes into that very in depth. But again, pleasure having you on. We'll look forward to having you on again and just thank you. And any last words you'd like to leave our listeners?
Embrace your weird.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, we do try to ignore that. So good. That's how wonderful. What a nice thought. Okay, well, just a quick reminder, everyone, wellroundedcorners.com. You can listen to us. All of our shows are free. Feel free to share them. Just make sure you post them in their entirety and wherever you may post them. If you have any comments about the show, just leave them on the show. Remember, check us out on iTunes. It's the easiest way to listen to us. You just get the shows automatically downloaded to your device, your computer. It's the best way to go. Well, until then, remember, you can catch the show every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1 at 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific. And until next week, hopefully we'll have Ruthanne joining us. But thank you for putting up with me. And again, Allison, thanks.
Thank you.
You have a good evening, everyone.